In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what is important about this parable about the prodigal son? There's really not much time. As a pastor, I feel that I have only so much time with you, only so much time to tell you about the Scriptures. Some of you don't read the Scriptures very much. This might be the only time this week that you hear them. So there's much in this parable that is beautiful, theological, a lot of depth. But what is the most important thing? This parable describes the human condition. And it describes it in two ways. About sin and our thoughts. Those are the two things that will cause us to die. Sin and our thoughts. This is what's important to understand. And this parable, like every parable, is life in microcosm. And indeed, this parable is not only life in microcosm, but it's also Great Lent in microcosm. We've already seen about the publican and the Pharisee that Great Lent is a time to learn to be humble. It's the whole reason why we fast. The whole reason why we go to more services. To learn to be humble. But not only that. Because with humility, we will have knowledge. Knowledge of who God is and who we are. And this is critically important to our salvation. So, I tell you clearly right now. If you don't feel in want, like this young man did, the younger son. If you don't feel need in your soul, that there are things lacking, that there is darkness, you won't be saved. Plain and simple. You must feel want in order to go towards God. It's just the truth. For some of you, you don't feel enough want. You don't see enough inside yourself to say, that's wrong, and that's dark, and that's not the kind of thought I should have. So for some of us, this is what we need to work on the most. But also, our thoughts accuse us. Even when we come to ourselves, as this young man did, our thoughts can accuse us, saying, don't bother the Master. Our sins are too big for God to forgive us. Or, although we believe in principle that God will forgive us, there are those nagging things inside, planted by the devil and by our own nature, that somehow we're just not going to get it done. We're not going to make it. And this man struggled with those thoughts. His actual vision of how his father would receive him was completely wrong, wasn't it? He thought, I'll go to my father and I'll tell him that I have sinned against heaven and against him and only receive me as one of your hired servants. And of course the father received him with joy, with the ring and the fatted calf and the dancing and the music, which is of course representation of blessedness of eternal life. But he had to wrestle with his thoughts. Thoughts can be positive or negative. We must think and then do. He said, I've done foolish things in my life. I've wasted my living. I'm in want. I want food from the pigs, which of course represent sin. And it didn't fill him. He was still in want. And he recognized in himself that his humanity had become soiled. And that only by coming back to his Father, who is of course God, could he be restored. He knew this. He felt it deeply. But then he had to reason within himself. What should he do? This is where many people fail. Because to know that you're sinful is not enough. To know that you're sinful and that God forgives your sin, and not only forgives your sin, but relieves you of this burden of sin, causes changes in you with your effort. Not by Him just bestowing upon you change, but with effort, with desire, so that you would no longer be sinful. This is the good news of the gospel. Not that God forgives only, but that God helps us to be changed so that all that darkness in us becomes light. I tell you, for 15 years now, I've been talking to you about the darkness that's in us. It's important. We must talk about it because it's there. It doesn't go away because we don't talk about it or we don't think about it. Like I said, Great Lent is a period of time to come to know ourselves. Really, that's another way of saying to be humble. And when you know yourself, you'll see that there are things in you that are ugly. That's just the truth. But what we do with this truth, what we do is what this young man did. I will rise and I will go to my father. However, not as he did, saying, only be one of your hired servants. We know God doesn't want us make us one of his hired servants. He wants to call us friends. He wants us to be able to say from the depths of our heart, Abba, Father. A father doesn't treat his son as a hired servant. So we know that the end will be that God will receive us as friends and as sons and daughters. But the middle is what is important for us to get to the end. And that is to go to our Father, to repent, to struggle. I tell you, you can describe every problem in your life by either sin or by your thoughts. Either sins that you're doing and you're aware of, or sins that you're doing and you're not aware of. And then how you think about your sin. Do you loathe your sin or do you loathe yourself? You have to loathe your sin. God loves you, so you shouldn't loathe yourself. Instead, you should pick yourself up like this man and say, I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to repent and He will receive me. Not by fiat, not because I say so, but because He said so. That's how you should think about your sins. And this whole parable is describing the life of repentance in us. Now, there's another kind of sin that is described in this parable, and that is of the older brother. You see, the younger one wasted his living with pleasure and with heedlessness. And we should see some of that in ourselves. Don't make a mistake now. If you could say, well, I haven't wasted my living with harlots. I haven't done any of that kind of thing. Remember, the parable is describing the basic depravity of human nature. I should be careful with that word because there's a whole theology, a false theology that's built with the idea of depravity. But there are things in us that are depraved. Let's be honest with one another. There are things in us that don't go the way they should. We don't think the way that we should or do the things we should. There's darkness in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, with all my heart, I want you to see it. I want you to feel it in your heart. But also, when you feel it, I want you to feel that God's love is present and will help you to change it. It does no good to know you're sinful unless you know that God forgives sin and relieves you of the sin burden. It does no good to know that you're dark unless you know where to go to get light. And this is what I wish for you and what I pray for you. Now the older brother, he was full of pride. He was like the Pharisee last week. The Pharisee who thought, I've done this and I've done that. I fast, I give tithe. And I'm not like this publican. And he was right. To some extent he was not like the publican. But he also was not humble. And he didn't see that he had lots of darkness in his heart. So we must not be proud about our accomplishments. And there are accomplishments in our lives. We shouldn't pretend they don't exist. They're there. But we must be humble about them. You see, sin has many heads to the monster. It's a many-headed hydra. But repentance is simple. God will receive us if only we struggle. That's all there is to it. God will receive us if we struggle. So this parable, brothers and sisters, is your life and is my life. Like I said at the beginning, there are other things to this parable that are very beautiful. It's a description of the Gentiles and the Jews. But most preeminently, what this parable describes is our life and how we should live it. Number one, what's wrong with us? And number two, what we should do about it. That's what this parable describes. And that's what Great Lent is for. To especially concentrate on trying to become more humble. Not by looking down at the ground and whispering, but by asking the mercy of God, God's grace, to penetrate you so that you can see what's wrong, and then also so that you can have the courage to do something about it. The courage and the motivation. So that your thoughts about what kind of person you are will not turn against you and accuse you so much that you will be like the rabbit that sees the snake and is paralyzed. No, we don't have to be afraid of the snake. Because God will help us with it. But we must recognize that we have something wrong with us. And then we must decide we're going to get better. And on the way to getting better, we will fall down. And we must get back up. And this will happen a long time. Because the son was far away from his father when he came to himself. And we are just like that. So let us take this time, not just Great Lent, but our lifetime, to learn of God, to learn of ourselves, and to desire Him with all of our hearts. And then, with His grace filling us, to know with confidence and surety that He will receive us. Not because of wishful thinking, but because He has said it is so. All we need do is struggle. And God will help us. This is the meaning of this parable. May God help it to be true for us, each one of us. Amen.